Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. You're listening to The Jillian Michaels Show. Okay. So, you know what distresses me? I'm just going to be totally... There's no joke here. It's just flat out. Here's what distresses me. Weight loss has become off-trend. And some people need to lose weight. And what I mean by that is, like, I see things everywhere where it's like, I'm not about being, you know, losing weight. I'm about being healthy. I'm like, did you ever stop to think those things sometimes go hand in hand? Or, you know, oh my God, you know, big is beautiful. Yes, everyone's beautiful. You can be overweight and beautiful, but in many cases, unhealthy. Or, you know, we had that doctor on, Dr. Mark Hyman, who I happen to respect tremendously, but who managed to find a way to say, no, don't count calories. I'm like, bro, don't count calories. You can eat too much of a good thing and gain weight. It's just a simple fact. I defy you. I will give you avocados and walnuts all day long. If you eat more calories than you burn in a day, I don't care how healthy it is, you will store it as fat. It just is what it is. You'll store it. Period. End of story. Animals out in the wild pack on fat for hibernation purposes. They're not eating Cheetos. You understand? Like, it's just you. It's basic physiology. You eat too much food, you store it as fat. Fat is stored energy. We use it for survival purposes, pregnancy. There's a reason that happens. But when the system gets out of whack and you eat too much, you get too big. Yes, then you're unhealthy. Period. End of story.
But when do you draw the? There has to be some acceptance with your body.
Everyone's
at some point.
Demonizing that. I believe in accepting your body 100%. I'm the first one to say, if you don't love yourself now, then you're gonna feel unworthy of health and happiness.
Yeah.
But again, if I was to take like a, and I believe these girls should be out there like, I'm beautiful the way I am, I'm beautiful the way I am, I'm beautiful the way I am. Absolutely. I'm questioning your health. If you go to the doctor and he turns around and says, your blood sugar's great, your blood pressure's great, your this is great, your that's great, fantastic. Like, there was a girl who said, oh, I'm a plus size model, and she ran a marathon. I looked at her, I was like, it doesn't look like a plus size to me. She looked like a bigger girl. But yep, she's healthy, fantastic. But if you're going to turn around and be like, you know, it's beautiful to have clogged arteries. No, it's not. It's not. And you're seeing this massive movement. And then you've got like this Biggest Loser. And I don't even want to touch on it because I swear to God, I got off the Biggest Loser show. Go to Bob. Go to Bob. He's still on the show. And everyone, like, Jillian, like, all the news outlets, like, come to me. Talk to us about it. It's like, I didn't want to address it, but what I am going to say is this. You have contestants, first of all, obesity. When you eat food to the degree that you become 400, 500 pounds, you have an addiction to food.
Yes.
It is far deeper than my metabolism slowed down. Stop. Please stop. Just stop it. It's the same thing as being an alcoholic. It's the exact same thing. It's like saying, AA didn't work because I fell off the wagon. You're going to fall off the wagon because when those are your demons and you're turning to food as a coping mechanism, as God knows what, control, like those things are far deeper than, oh, my metabolism slowed down. And my favorite part is you have contestants like Ali Vincent, for example. My metabolism slowed down. Okay, well, first of all, Ali Vincent won The Biggest Loser, what, 8, 9 years ago?
At least.
Okay, so she's now 9 years older. She kept the weight off for years when she had a television show on ABC. When that television show went away, all of a sudden, you couldn't keep the weight on anymore. Danny Cahill kept the weight off for years. Was doing public speaking. When that stopped happening and he had to go back to a regular job, your metabolism slowed down? Come on. I mean, they've kept the weight off for years. And it's like these guys are acting like they're sitting at home, you know, eating celery with a spin bike. Bull. Baloney. No. And then there are plenty of contestants like Julie Haddon, Hannah and Olivia. There are plenty of them. Pete Thomas, that keep the weight off. So what scares me is that when you're sending that message, it's like, oh, you know, it destroyed my metabolism. Oh, and we've all shown that calorie restrictions destroy metabolism. Here's the bottom line. Yes, if for an extraordinarily long period of time you reduce your calories when you're not morbidly obese, when you're trying to lose 10 pounds, 15 pounds, yeah, you're right, because your body goes, uh-oh, and we've talked about this. Yeah. Oh, my God, food is scarce. I'm going to shift my biochemistry and my hormone balance to release more cortisol and less HGH and essentially hold on to fat. That's what the body's doing for survival purposes. When you're morbidly obese, it doesn't need to do that. It's like, oh, thank God. Let me get rid of some of this extra weight. It's a different physiology. You're in a different place.
Okay.
50 to 100 pounds is a different game than 10 to 15. But at the same time, if you're dramatically reducing your calories and you're working out, then you're not going, oh, I'm slowly shutting my metabolism down as I'm losing weight. You're exercising. You're watching what you're eating so you're not putting on more weight. And then you're exercising. And the exercise is the energy call. The exercise is going, oh, my God, the body needs more energy. The body needs more energy. I'm running a mile. I'm doing 10 push-ups. I need fuel. And it goes into fat stores. It's not just about starvation. And no one ever said that it was. In fact, I've always been crystal clear that you can't really diet off 100 pounds. You can very, 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 very gradually start to bring that scale down, but at an extremely slow rate. And it can be get a process of yo-yo dieting, which is why it's critical to eat right, watch how much you're eating, and simultaneously work out.
But with that equation, don't you have to work on your head? Because if these people,
what they really needed. And you want to know what was really wrong with Biggest Loser? We didn't have a therapist. That's what was really wrong. That's what's wrong. And when people went home and they went back into a dysfunctional environment that was causing them to be hurting, in pain, unhappy, out of control, they did not. There was some of them we were able to set up a game plan. Some of them we weren't. Some of them weren't my contestants. Some of them were. Some of them were my contestants and I couldn't break through in time. Some of them were my contestants and I'm not a therapist. And, you know, one of the stories I love to talk about is a kid that was on the show. He went home for the holidays. He was making great progress. Right? We've talked about him. His name's Austin.
Yeah.
And he comes back to the ranch. He gained weight over the holidays. And it turns out that his mother was overweight. She'd been overweight his entire life. She felt like he was abandoning her. He went back into that scenario. That's something that you can't undo on The Biggest Loser. You can try to get to the bottom of it. You can try to find out about it. You can try to give him coping skills. But what does that family really need? A family therapist.
Yeah.
Sure, do you have a chance at being like, listen, sweetheart, you know, is he right on the precipice? Is he unbelievably strong and brave? Like, here's what's going on. Let me try to give you the tools. Here's what you need. Do you know how the chances of that working? It's not easy. This is my point. On the ranch, he can lose weight. They go home. And it's like, if you go back into a dysfunctional relationship, environment, scenario, circumstance, and that's the truth. But what scares me more about all of this is you cannot send a message to the public that calories don't count. They do. And yes, so does the quality of your food. You guys know I feel that way. But it's just getting very dangerous to try to shift a trend when biology is biology. Physiology is physiology. Period. End of story. If you eat too much of any food, you'll gain weight. If you want to lose weight, you've got to eat less and move more. It's the two things. And that's the only answer. It is the only answer.
So Allie and the other gentleman you mentioned, it's like when you, is that, in your experience, is that always the reason why people fall? It's like because they lose their reason for having the weight off?
Sure, I'm sure. Look, for years, Allie kept the weight off. For years. Years. And it was, she had a show on ABC, she was doing endorsements, this, that, the other, and then all of a sudden what? What happened? Oh my God, the backlash of Biggest Loser 8 years later? 8 years? Okay, girl. Not to mention, oh, it slowed my metabolism. You realize what the baseline for that is? Did anybody check your metabolism before you came to Biggest Loser? Hello? No. Based on what? It slowed down based on what? I could slow your metabolism down in 3 months. If I sit your ass on the couch and feed you a bunch of crap, guess what? I've just slowed your metabolism. I can pick it up in 3 months. If I work you out and I feed you clean food, I just sped up your metabolism. Next. Like, anything could be going on. Like, to sit there and be like, oh no, you know, 8 years ago I restricted calories and it screwed up my metabolism. No. And I said to one contestant who he emailed me and I was like, listen to me, dude. I'm like, here's the bottom line. Ready? This is very simple. If you're really telling me that you're working out and you're eating clean and you're not losing weight, then guess what you need to do? You need to go to an endocrinologist because something's wrong, which would mean maybe you have a growth on your pituitary. Maybe there's something wrong with your, maybe you have thyroid cancer.
Yeah.
Like then something, if that's really true.
If
that's really true, let me tell you what it means. There's something seriously wrong with your endocrine system and you need help. You're telling me all these people have what?
Thyroid
cancer? A pituitary problem? Come on. Come on. There are all of them have an adrenal issue? Please. Then you go to the doctor. You go to an endocrinologist who will get to the bottom of it, and I mean right quick.
Wow. And to think
that's
that
the
I
only other answer.
Didn't know if you wanted to talk about this or not.
It's not the Biggest Loser, though. What upsets me more is, like, I saw someone post the other day, like, you know, something about, it doesn't matter what your gravitational pull to the earth is. And I was like, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. It does matter because it's directly related to the longevity and the quality of your life. It just is, kid. And I know you want to turn around and be like, it doesn't matter what you weigh. Well, if you weigh 100 pounds overweight, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does. Sure it does. It's terrible for you. It's terrible for your posture, your heart health, your blood sugar. Hello, science. Morbid obesity is directly related to heart disease, cancer, back pain. I mean, you name it. Diabetes. What are you talking about? It matters. Shut up. I can't with the politically correct bullshit anymore. I can't. You're not doing anyone any favors. You're just not. The truth will set you free, Manis.
My God.
Okay, guys, the new Works Aero Cart reinvents lifting and hauling. This sucker is an 8-in-1 all-purpose carrier for heavy loads, makes everything easy to lift. It's a dolly, a wheelbarrow, a trailer mover, all in one. It's got this patented turbo lift technology that makes lifting 200 pounds feel like you're lifting 17. So if you want to check this thing out, it's awesome. As I said, it's multi-purpose, multifaceted. Can't go wrong. AeroCart.com. Enter the promo code Jillian at checkout, and you'll get 10% off plus free shipping. That's AeroCart, AeroCart.com. Promo code my name, and you'll get 10% off and free shipping.
Yes. Yes, Jillian.
I was on Pop Sugar the other day.
I like Pop Sugar. Some interesting things.
And there was an article about this thing. Ask me how I don't know about it. What is wrong with me? Called Wanderlust. Wanderlust. You're going to want to check out Wanderlust 108 ASAP. And to be honest with you, it's like thousands of people rolling out yoga mats by the beach, like dancing, doing yoga, this whole, it's kind of like the Coachella of fitness at the Santa Monica Pier in California. And it got me thinking that, you know, I didn't know about it, but things like this go on a lot, right? People love these like adventure races, yoga retreats, wanderlust, like these festivals of wellness. People love a festival, but and now they're wrapping it around fitness. And I just thought we should bring some awareness to this. We should talk about it because like attracts like. You are the company you keep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, didn't we try to talk about obstacle races not that long ago? About the camaraderie, dragon boat races, the camaraderie?
Oh, God.
No, but seriously, you know, but you're absolutely right. And I think that is happening more and more, these conventions of people gathering.
Yeah. And they're young kids. Like, I'm looking at pictures of them. I mean, they're all, you know, in their 20s. And I was like, wow, like, they came out for this. They were down. They came out. They went for it, and I love it. It's like, and they're like the sense of community and positivity that comes out of a fet. Oh my God, I'm drunk today. The sense of community and positivity that comes out of a festival atmosphere is inspiring on its own. And I thought, you know, that's true. And I really wanted to recommend something like this if you're a person that's, I don't know, moved to a new town. Right? You move to a new town, you're feeling a little overwhelmed. You go to a place like this, you go to an event, you go to even if it's a group class, you join a running team for a 5K or even a half marathon, and you're putting yourself in a positive environment. I think I'm also bringing this up because we are so dramatically affected by our environment and the company we keep. I think we underestimate that. I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about guys and how they go through these midlife crises. Well, women do too, but
right.
Men have these midlife crises. And he's like, you know, we've got this running group and everybody in the running group is married. He's like, not one guy is divorced. And I feel like if one of the guys was divorced, he wouldn't be in the group anymore. And I was like, really? Why do you say that? And he goes, well, I don't know. It's like one guy starts bitching about his wife. Then the next guy goes, yeah. And he starts bitching about his wife. The next thing you know, you're all bitching about your wives. You go home. You're mad at your wife, and
I get you.
Right, it's like, yeah. You know, we're social creatures. We're dramatically influenced by our environment. You know, if somebody else is depressed and down, it brings us depressed and down. If we're in a negative environment, it impacts us negatively.
Because it's more powerful. Negativity
sure.
is more powerful.
Yeah. But if you're in an environment with people who are positive, and I read something on, Giancarlo posted this. It was on Instagram and it said like, I don't want to compete with anybody. I want us all to succeed.
Hmm.
People spend so much time bashing what they hate instead of espousing what they love. And again, this is about, put yourself in an environment. If you're around people that are happy with themselves, they're not going to go after you. When someone attacks you or judges you or goes after you or is a hater, it's because they're not happy in their life.
Yeah.
So this is sort of beyond fitness for me. I think it's really about restructuring your mindset. It's about supporting yourself or setting yourself up to be supported in an environment with people that are taking care of their shit, that are getting it done. And, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. you've either committed to moving forward, or you've committed to the victim mentality. I'm so hooked on this victim mentality these days.
Yeah.
Because I can't tell you, I mean, it's so easy to feel like a victim. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to do that. And I know I'm jumping around a lot because life's not fair and bad things happen. And then you're like, well, it wasn't my fault. Why me? Well, it happens to all of us. So what are you going to do? Are you going to let it beat you down? Or are you going to say, all right, I got this. I can figure this out. I'm strong enough. Like, what's the lesson? What is the opportunity here? And so on. And that's where I like these ideas of yoga retreats and fitness festivals and races. The only thing that scares me about the races, adventure races, is like they sometimes are really, really not safe. But
yeah, because people
a lot of busted ankles. But
I mean, that's
not the point.
There's been so much thing on intimidation. There's so many articles and things about gym intimidation. I'm intimidated to go. I'm not going to go. I'm intimidated. But you're right. If you know, sometimes gyms can be intimidating, but a group. I see so many running groups, and they're laughing. They're just, I don't know, and they're mixed, ages and mixed gender.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know. Check it out, man. Check it out, man. Yeah. Check it out, dude. That's what I'm saying. I think it's cool.
All right, now, I've often thought about you in yoga class, and I always remember one time, I've never forgotten it, and you said to me, you know what, sometimes I don't stay for Shavasana.
No, I gotta go.
And I just, to me, you know what, if you were in my class, I would say, you get out of here, and you don't come back, because you're not completing the class. Shavasana is part of the way you've all finished together.
Creepy.
No, it's not creepy. It's part of the class. See, the thing is that you don't take time just to... Have you ever just lay down?
I did. I had to do that last month. I had that surgery and I had to take a month off.
Did you do any Shavasana?
No, but I was really, really tired from all that... what's that stuff they put you under?
Anesthesia?
That.
You went right under?
13 hours, girl. 13 hours. I know. Man. But I took a month off.
Wow.
And a long surgery, I know. Yeah. Long, but I was, oh, dude, for 2 weeks I was like zombified. But what, huh?
Do you want to talk about it at all? I didn't know you were under.
Of course I was under.
I thought maybe you had a wart removed.
No,
they took... The bottom of your foot.
No, they took that cyst out of my jaw.
You're kidding.
No, I gone.
And she was loopy.
Yeah, but it was it was brutal. It was hard.
Wow, I didn't know they took it out.
Yeah, because it would swell up and stuff when I would...
I remember the year that it was like coming up and down and up and down.
Yeah, and it just kept... And they aspirated it, it came back. And they aspirated it, it came back. And they said it could still come back. But, I mean, not yet, so...
Wow, where did they cut? Like right here?
No, they had to open up my ear.
Oh, God. Oh, are you serious?
He did it the same way he would do... Like, he had to open up the... Because... And go in, because otherwise, I would have nerve damage and I would have scarring. And they couldn't go through my mouth because it was underneath. It was through the bone, so it was in the muscle. It was crazy. But they got it.
Wow! Oh my gosh! I know. I feel.
What Shavasana?
Well, I feel kind of bad now about giving you shit for not doing Shavasana.
You should. Waste of time.
No, it's not a waste of time. Maybe I'm just saying that there's certain things. Is everything okay?
Do I look fine?
Yes, you look fantastic.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Wow.
Where's your segment on?
Oh, yes. Okay. About you being bad by not staying for Shavasana.
Okay.
So this is things. Okay. These are some things that really piss people off in yoga class.
Okay.
Okay. And one of them is someone getting up. I just made that one up because that
would sit by the door and then it's time to go. You go.
Yeah, but people can hear. They're trying to get into themselves and all of a sudden you hear rustle, rustle,
it's
rustle.
It's LA. They're all
foldy,
into themselves
foldy,
here.
Foldy. All right. Here's some things.
Okay.
You don't make room for someone else's mat.
Uh-huh. But that is so annoying.
It is. It's
I hate
rude.
That.
They just sit
but
there.
Don't come over to me, though, if there's plenty of room in the class.
What do you mean?
Well, don't come stink up my area if there's, like, room, though. That's
oh, I see.
Like when people come sit right next to you, but there's a ton of chairs open.
Well, it's
I'm
because
like,
you're Jillian Michaels.
No, I don't look like me. And then when they find out it's me, they go, I thought you'd be taller.
Oh, that's true.
And
that's
I heard right. your voice.
They're looking for
and
someone
it was
taller.
You.
All right. Here's yeah. another one. You think you're too good for props.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I do that.
You think you're too good for props?
I don't want the block or the strap.
Really? What if you can't do
Screw
it?
Screw that.
Oh, you know what? See, look at all the things now. Okay. If you do this, you're going down right now. Mm. You jump into a headstand right away.
What do you like, mean just, jump into a headstand?
You kind of just... You know, your teachers are telling you to do this, not it, and you're just, you know, all of a sudden you just kind of go into a headstand.
No, I don't do that.
Okay.
But if I could do a handstand, I would just do that.
You wouldn't. Don't tell me you wouldn't do that.
I would
just come into the class, put your mat down, and just go into a handstand.
I would do that, yeah, just to establish dominance.
You know what?
I'll say, so who's the boss?
You're almost everything on this list. Okay. You keep your phone on your mat.
I have kids.
Oh, Jillian, you don't.
Silent.
Oh, no. I had a yoga teacher went over to a girl and she said, you get that phone. This is no place for your phone.
I have kids.
That, you can't take an hour of a yoga class.
I just keep it off to the side. And in case anything, because we take it on, I take a yoga class on Saturday and the kids are at home with my mom.
And your mom is, I think if there's anybody in this world you can trust with your kids, it's your mom.
No. If something happens, I need to know.
Oh, okay. You know what?
Although knowing my mom, she would probably send smoke signals and a carrier pigeon before she figured out how to use her text message. But no.
You gush about another teacher.
No, I don't do that.
Okay. You don't check your ego at the door. Huh. My God, you're everything on this list. If you're going to hop into a handstand as soon as you walk in, hey, everybody, it's me. Flip. Okay.
Well, I would if I could.
You do your own thing. Just do it with the teacher.
Okay. Yeah.
God, that.
No, I know. I don't like when teachers say three more on your own, though, because then I'm like, what?
Yeah,
then
I get
lost. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got some. Then
I'm
you
like,
got
you teach it.
Then you got Snappy
you're the
Sally.
Teacher.
And you're trying to follow her.
Yeah.
And you just look like a turd.
That's what happens. And then it gets very confusing. Like, don't say three more on your own, you know?
Yeah.
You're
no.
the teacher.
You don't check in.
With who?
At the front desk
with your
fob.
Yeah, that's rude.
Beep. That's wrong.
No, you're trying not to pay. You're stealing.
I think you just think she should notice me. Or he should notice me, the teacher.
I think it's stealing.
All right. The other one, the last one, is you compare yourself to others. So you look, you're always looking around.
You do
and
that.
You've told me you do that.
Yes, to make sure I'm the best. Which I'm not in yoga because I have no flexibility.
I'm just saying, you know what? As I'm doing this, stop with that bottle.
What bottle?
Please.
Dennis, I don't hear anything.
You know what? I think I'm going to give you this stuff. You know what? People don't like that. People don't like this. Oh, you're... Don't, because you know what? That's like... Oh.
Okay, guys, Weebly time. Weebly was created for people with the courage to start their own businesses who have the dream to be their own boss. And you know what? You don't need to be a web designer. You don't need to know how to code to create a beautiful website, a blog, an online store. We were all unbelievably impressed here with the wide variety of professionally designed, mobile-friendly themes they have to choose from. And all you have to do is drag and drop, and you can quickly build and publish your site. It's that easy. You can customize it, update it, change your site anytime you want on any device. There are over 30 million people who are already dreaming big with Weebly. You can get started today for free at weebly.com/Jillian. That's weebly.com/JILLIAN. Weebly.com/Jillian. Make it happen today.
Okay, we're back, and all the way from West Virginia, Rhonda has a question for you, Jillian.
Hey, Rhonda, how are you?
Hi, Jillian. I'm good. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Oh, gosh, don't be silly. What's going on?
Well, my question was, in a nutshell, you know, I was wondering your thoughts on... Oh, gosh, I just kind of drew a blank. I'm, like, so nervous to talk to you. My question is, how does someone know if they feel like they're settling in a part of their life, as opposed to just being ungrateful for what they already have?
Well, do you like what you already have?
I feel like I should.
No, that was not the question. That was not the question.
No, I do. I feel like I have settled in my life, even though there are good things about it.
Then that's the answer. You know, I mean, just because other people would kill for it doesn't mean you would.
Right.
Good point.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people that have things that they love that I would not want. You know, I mean, it were different. It's, you know, it'd be one thing if you're having like this very sort of basic human survival conversation of just be lucky you have food or, you know, that's
right.
This isn't, we're not living in that kind of reality. You know, we're fortunate enough to live in a reality where we have the luxury of changing our minds. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing you're taking for granted.
Yeah, you're right. I guess my problem, I feel like in my life I have settled for so much less than I was capable of, and I stayed in a comfort zone for so long that I keep thinking about how I should be happy with what I have. I'm very lucky to have a supportive husband and all the pets that I have to take care of, and yet I still feel like I focus on what isn't right or what I should have done instead.
Well, okay, tell me what you're talking about, because you're right now everything is kind of obscure. Like, what are you talking about specifically?
Well, when I first wrote the email, I wrote it because I was feeling very frustrated with just my job situation. And then when I thought about it more, I realized it wasn't just the job. With the job I'm in, it's a good job. I make decent money. But all I kept focusing on was how I just have this terrible schedule, and I was always so upset about that. And then I just kind of realized it wasn't just that. It was pretty much my life I felt frustrated at. I have a husband, we have a house, but I focus on, well, I don't like where we're living, and I feel like I turned 30 just 2 months ago, so with that kind of came just thinking about how can I make 30 better than 20, and I feel like I let myself stay in a comfort zone my entire 20s. I had every opportunity to do what I wanted, and I didn't.
Okay. And you're doing that again. So, you know, what you really need to look, you already know the answer to this. You know, you have a home, but you'd like to be in a different area. But then you're like, how dare you? Do you know how many people don't have homes? But I don't understand how that's helping people that don't have homes. I don't understand how that mentality is helping anyone. There's no logic to that. It's an emotional thing that's making you feel this way.
Yes.
And so, you know, and that's right. What you need to look at. It's like a guilt trip, and where the guilt trip comes from. And I guarantee you it comes from somebody who settled and then projected it onto you. Who do you think you are? Be grateful for what you have. Do you know how many people don't have this? Because they settled and they're pissed off about it. And that's how they swallowed the bitter pill.
Yeah, that's really accurate, actually.
Okay, but then you need to, you know, is your concern that should you kind of upend that and say, I'm not going to subscribe to this, will this cause an issue with somebody you love?
I don't think it will, other than I would feel like I was leaving them behind.
Right.
And not being there for them.
Okay. How so?
I think because
I mean they're not-
I feel like I'm capable of doing a lot more, but I'm not because they're not able to themselves.
Right. Well, then what I would do is I would not share that part of your life with them. I wouldn't discuss, I'd like to change jobs, I'm getting into this field. In the meantime, while you think that it could compromise the relationship, because what's holding you back is your fear of abandonment. So the worry is that if I do this, it's going to cause problems, I'm leaving them behind, they're going to feel ashamed, it's going to make them feel less than. If they feel that way, they're not going to want to be around you, and that's what it really means, and that's why you just can't move. You're just paralyzed. You can't move. And what I would do is, honestly, I would do it as subversively as possible. And that's sort of the wrong word because it implies that you're being subversive. But covertly. How about that? I would do it as privately as possible. I would, you know, no one, they don't need to know what you're doing. They don't need to know that. I mean, does it suck? Yeah. I mean, we talk about that all the time. Relationships are limited. The world is not a perfect place. It just isn't. Things don't work out the way we want them to all the time. Shit doesn't always pay off. Things are not perfect. And people don't always come around. And that's where we got to really live in that gray zone. So this is where you got to look at that relationship and say, what do we have that's good? And how can I discuss that and live there and be in that place? What do we have that causes problems? These issues. I'm going to share, you know, my ambitions with other people who are like-minded. And find what I need elsewhere. And again, it's not ideal. And other people would be like, I don't agree. That's settling. That's not, but it's reality. It's reality. And if it's what you need to start taking steps, then it's what you need to start taking steps. And down the road, as you've made some headway into some of these changes, and that person sees, you know, you're still around, I think it'll progress in time, but don't share it.
I hear you. I appreciate you telling me that because it's something I've been struggling with for a while, and I knew that you would be honest with me.
I know. I was watching something so awful. We went to a refugee exhibit. We went to it with Heidi, and this is going to sound so completely bizarre and off track with what you and I are talking about, but there was a story about a woman who had traveled so far to get this better life, right? And she gets stuck in this camp, and she gets sick, and there are no doctors, and she is basically, it's terminal. So she goes back to where she came from, and she passes away. And I was in the car with Heidi, and I was unraveling crying, and I was like, what the, because you want to believe, right, in your heart of hearts, that it's like, if we do all the right things, it's gonna work out, that there's a, you know, if we do it all right, if we just don't quit, if we fail, we try again, that we're gonna get there in the end. And you know what, sometimes, not always, but sometimes it doesn't change. Sometimes that person that you're afraid to lose, they don't come around. They don't change. And therefore, you are forced to have a limited relationship with them. And that just sucks. It comes with an imminent, impossible, and unavoidable loss. And you will, right now, so that you don't have to contend with that, and I'm hoping you don't. You know, and then 8 times out of 10, that woman does get a better life and there's a great story, but it's unknown. And there's no way for me to tell you this is going to be perfect and this is going to be okay, because that would be a lie. But where you're at right now is nowhere good, because if you keep living the way you're living, you're going to resent that person and you're going to resent your life, and you're going to become more angry and more depressed, which is not an answer to your relationship issues or, you know, your happiness. So you're at an impasse. And this is where I would say the only crutch I can give you is to be somewhat quiet about it. Don't share it. Don't tell them about all your accomplishments, as upsetting as that might be. Share it with people that are like-minded. And find areas that are safe to maintain this relationship, provided the connection that you do have and the areas that you do have it is positive and not abusive.
Okay.
I'm sorry, honey. I just wish I could give you the, you know, I wish I could lie to you. I don't have it in me.
Oh, no, I don't think it would serve you. I expected a lie.
But you can do this, and I don't think down the road that you would ever regret it, as hard as it may be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about that.
Oh gosh, thank you for writing in, and do me a favor, update us.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Rhonda.
I will. Thank you, Jillian.
All right, honey. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
I've listened to all these, like, self-help people. You know what they are? Liars. They're liars. Almost all of them.
That's why self-help book sections are becoming a thing of the past, I think.
Oh, you know. It's the lie is that if you do all the right things that they tell you to do, or you say all the right things and you never stop, you know, the solution you're after will come to pass. And that's not true. Mm. Sometimes, yeah. But what I think you need to appreciate is that it may never look the way you want it to look. There might be something else that's meant for you. And I think that if you stay open and flexible, the energy you put in the world will pay off to a certain extent, right? One road can lead you to another, even though it's not the one you thought you would go down.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, it's about quality of life.
And that's why I thought Rhonda's question was so important, because I really, truly, I think we're at a time of in this world that we're privileged. You know, we live, you're right. You're absolutely right. We live in North America. We're very privileged. Not everybody, by no stretch of the imagination, not everybody.
Most.
But her dilemma, you're right. She's saying, I should be, and I've always often had that. I should be grateful. I should be. And it's just this, weird pressure. And it does cause depression.
I know.
There's a lot of depressed people out, me included. You know what I mean? It's like it just comes over you like with this blanket, because you're just, why am I feeling this way? Why shouldn't I be happy with my situation? It all looks good.
I know.
You know? So yeah. I get her so much. I don't know. It's tough.
It is tough. Especially, but I think that's the problem, is you can't compare your circumstance or your situation to someone else's.
Yes, true.
Oh, they don't have, look at me. I only do that if it provides me with peace. So like, if I'm getting upset about nothing.
Right.
Then I'm like, oh, for God's sake, who cares if the service was bad? Pull yourself together. What did you really lose? And the only reason I'll do that to myself is to keep myself from getting agitated.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, this isn't a problem, Jill. You know, it's like, this is, you know, imagine you had a health scare. Would this really be, you know, would you kill for this problem? This isn't a problem.
Yeah.
But I'm not telling myself not to move, not to change, not to want more or do more. I'm trying to talk myself out of being agitated over stupid things.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't serve me.
Right.
And, you know, the goal is the greater good. What's serving you? Getting agitated about stupid things, that's not serving me. But staying in a position that you think you should be happy about when you really want more, that's not serving you.
Right.
And that's the difference.
Yeah, absolutely.